everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and of course we're doing this by Zoom because we're still trying to keep the governance guidelines and, you know, obviously social distancing and so forth. But I have my special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course, yeah. So my name is Sarah Helen King. I'm a psychologist and wellness coach, and my business is called Invigorize.
Nice. And how did you get involved in the coaching side of things?
I set my business about 3 years ago. That was after I had come out of university in terms of I'd actually gone to uni in later life after I'd had my son. So I'd kind of started with my degree in psychology, and then I went on to specialise in health psychology. And then I crazily signed up to do a PhD and a dual doctorate award to get chartership, which just, I love the research and learning side of it and the practical side of it, but actually the PhD element of it was just not where I really wanted to go. And so when I was in those first 2 years, I read tons and tons of research into health psychology. So everything from kind of eating behaviours and all the new kind of research that's been published into stress management, and how that all kind of combined into one. So what health psychology calls it, the biopsychosocial approach. And then I linked up with Student Enterprise Department, and they were really supportive of helping entrepreneurs set up their own businesses. They had lots of experience from the commercial side. So linking those two elements of academics, commercial side, and then obviously my previous working experience as well, kind of evolved Invigorize. And it was, this was what I was really passionate about doing, because I saw this big gap in the market of how healthcare was delivered, especially in the UK, and looking at the rising obesity rates and the issues that people had with their relationship with food, and how Slimming World and Weight Watchers were kind of addressing, you know, the dieting industry and still getting people to restrict their eating. And through all the research that I was reading, that completely, you know, contradicted that. It wasn't true. Mm. So I just felt like I wanted to get that message out sooner rather than sticking it out another 2 years doing a piece of research when actually there was tons of research already there. We just needed people to actually share it with the world in a much easier kind of understandable bite-sized way. Yeah. And help change people's perspectives, really. So it's all about kind of behavior change. I try and teach people how to make small changes, but you do need to look at the whole holistic approach, if that's what you want to call it. In psychology, we call it the biopsychosocial approach. So that's looking at the biological aspects, the psychological aspects, and then the social aspects. And then after that, I went and did some like a coaching course, which was also accredited by the BPS at the Centre for Coaching. So that gave me the coaching sort of background as well. So yeah, it's all combined now. Yeah, so I love it. I mean, it's, you know, it's just something that I'm truly passionate about.
It's amazing, that journey, because it comes from like the facets of where you've actually gone through in terms of your life, and also your degree, and then linking it to business. Was it a simple transition, or was it one of those things that you kind of had to have guidance in?
Do you know what? It's funny, actually, you say that now, because obviously getting to the stage where I am, I'm continually learning. I'm still not anywhere. I don't think I'll ever be where you want to be, kind of, if that's the right word to explain it. I'm always learning something different each day, and each day I'm developing, and I do that through other courses and online courses, but I do that through the people that I meet. But more specifically, I do that through my clients, because each day we are covering things, and I'm understanding things that they don't know, and having the answers for them, which is always such a massive, you know, learning process for us both. And I and I've got to that kind of stage now where, you know, I do feel very assured in what I'm doing and my delivery. And it gives me the opportunity to kind of reflect back on how to this stage. And, you know, obviously we don't know where the future is, but I do have further goals that I would like to get to. And it's funny because I can see now there's clear steps that I may have not taken. What's the word? I didn't plan it out. It just kind of happened. But each of those experiences has obviously led me to where I am now. And some of them have been a bit rough, and quite painful, but most of them have been quite positive experiences. And even with the rough ones, having a certain type of mindset, quite a lot of emotional resilience to get through that, has seen me get through it quite, you know, well. And and that's the kind of resilience and prosperity that I want to try and instill into my clients, which is why coaching, you know, I just believe that everyone should have a coach really of some description, but I realize that for lots of people that's a bit kind of out of their price bracket, or, you know, they, or even if they can afford to do that, they don't financially believe in it. They don't believe that that's a good investment. They may spend money on cars or holidays or houses, and of course those are all really important things, but actually your personal development and your fulfillment, how happy you are, how healthy you are, which is obviously where I lend myself to, is so important that you can't have any of those other things anyway. So yeah, it's really important that you invest either time or money into being as healthy as you can be. And that's why I offer, I've got a free Facebook community group, and if people checked in on that on a regular basis, they would get as much coaching as they would if they paid for me, you know, in a one-to-one session really. That's always been part of my philosophy, that I wanted to make sure that coaching services are accessible to all, and so it should be. Yeah. And I think that's generally, and especially I've seen a shift in the last few years with the NHS, are definitely, they had health trainers and they are having social prescribers. So if you go to the doctor, you may get a course of mindfulness or, you know, something alternative, where it's seen as, it's now becoming more common that, these, what was classified as alternative solutions to healthcare is now a lot more, you know, becoming mainstream. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's happened is it's come from the health psychology research. It's come from the academics, the professors, the PhDs, even the people, you know, that have come through my journey as well, through their degree and master's. It's come from that research and those people, you know, publishing research that, you know, the science that supports that these interventions work. Anything from kind of like mindfulness to healthy eating options as opposed to restrictive diets. There's, you know, lots of support now for different types of exercise and stress management techniques, which are using things like yoga and Pilates as opposed to what people may have prescribed painkillers. Mm. So, you know, there's definitely lots of big changes happening. I think it could happen a lot quicker, of course. And I guess it's also about people taking personal responsibility as well. And I don't mean blame when I say personal responsibility. I don't want that to be a negative. It's about people taking, feeling empowered to be able to take back control of their own health, not feeling like, oh, I'm sick, there's nothing I can do, I have to go to the doctor and take a tablet. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, feeling empowered to take a little bit of control back from that and understanding and learning and teaching themselves what they can do to help themselves, not, you know, that getting rid of that kind of learned helplessness, I guess.
Yeah, and that dependency as well.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, especially the journey you mentioned for yourself and how you're using that to help others, and then also making people feel empowered in themselves through the various methods and so forth. One question for you is, obviously with lockdown and the restrictions, I mean, mental health is something of a spillover effect, and it's definitely going to impact a lot of people's, you know, personal journeys in life. How do you feel you can sort of navigate your customer base or the people that are subscribed to you to sort of find themselves in a better situation?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that is just such a great question. Obviously, this health global pandemic has affected every single person. It doesn't matter whether you are the top CEO in a company on a multi-million pound salary, or if you're a single mum struggling on benefits, trying to, you know, feed your children. Everybody has been affected in a really emotional way. And it, you know, it's really sort of, we've lost, you know, we've lost loved ones. We've struggled financially. We've just that fear of the unknown and what was going to happen. And obviously we have come through, you know, as a species, we've come through great adversity and managed to survive it. Our previous like grannies and great grandparents have, you know, fought wars for us. So on that kind of scale, you know, obviously it's not the same thing, but it's still affected all of us in a unique way. And it's how we sort of come out of that now and identifying how we actually feel, because that, you know, that is really what's important and what you can do to change it, what you can do to make yourself feel better. Because ultimately, especially if you have got caring responsibilities, or you've got you're still working, you know, you didn't get furloughed, or whatever it is that's your responsibility, you may not be feeling 100%. You might be still feeling very anxious and worried about what's happened, or you may not even know why you're feeling that way. You just, you know, everyone has been okay and you've come out of it and actually got a bit of money in the bank because you haven't spent any money because things were closed, but you're still feeling not all right. And that's when I would just say to people, just reach out if you feel like you're struggling too much. If it's something that I can help with, then great, but it's go to your GP, look online. There's lots of support networks, even charities that can support you, or even talking to your friends or your family, because I'm sure that somebody else will be struggling as well, and thinking about what you can do in your community. Is there something, you know, somehow you can reach out? I know that people are still a bit scared about seeing each other, but there's lots of, you know, you can go for a walk with a friend and talk that, you know, talk your worries through. If you do that in nature, there's loads of research. I know that, you know, it seems like it's not rocket science. If you go for a nice walk, you're going to feel better. But actually just getting there, getting outside the house, because you've been told you've got to stay indoors. And what used to be a beautiful walk in the countryside or the woods or the local, down by the local river or the park, has now become a bit of a scary task to get over. So it's just give yourself that little acknowledgement of how you feel, and then take those small steps to kind of make yourself feel better. And whichever way you do that, there's so many different techniques that you can kind of implement for yourself. You can try breathing exercises at home, meditation, doing like an online yoga class, something like that. Even if you're talking in a Facebook group, you're socializing and having conversations with people, which maybe you haven't thought about doing. Maybe you've just been in your bubble with your family, or maybe you've been really isolated. Perhaps you've even been, you know, on your own. So it's just not just identifying how you're feeling and then trying to find a solution to make yourself feel better. It's really important.
Yeah, completely agree.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely answered a lot of those boxes that I wanted to sort of, you know, cover. But you definitely speak about food and how important that is. And I know how tempting it is to go to the back section of the fridge and pick up a bucket of ice cream and eat that and feel better for yourself for a little bit, and then realize, you know, that's not the option long term. It's a good option for a short time, but how do you feel with the relationship with food in general and how that affects the mind?
So, of course, I think everyone's particular relationship with food is actually quite unique to them. And what you really want to try and do is identify what, you know, what, first of all, identify what your sort of eating patterns are. And if you feel like they're quite normal and there's nothing really going on, then that's absolutely fine. And, you know, you don't have an issue with weight and, you know, you are generally a happy person, you've got energy, you sleep quite well, then eating the ice cream is completely fine. Like, there's no issue with having treats. In fact, everything in moderation. It's all about kind of the amount and the portion. But also, what is the key is how it makes you feel. So if you're attaching guilt and shame to that ice cream, that's not a good thing, because that internalizes and that will then start, that can potentially cause you inner stress. You can maybe get stomach problems, you can have inflammation, and that's what can lead to chronic conditions. So that's one element that you can start thinking about, is the negative emotions that you're attaching with what you're eating. And also, you know, what you're drinking, and you can have, it's not just food, you can have that with exercise as well. And identifying if that's there, and if there are those negative emotions, that's what kind of needs to be addressed. And you need to look at your why do you feel guilty? And that can be a number of things. It could be that you are overweight and you really are not happy with how you look, so that results in you feeling guilty and shameful. Then you reach for more like high fat, high sugar foods to make yourself feel better, because you've got into that kind of pattern, and that's that really unhealthy relationship. Or it could be some influences maybe from childhood. Maybe your mum or your dad was always on a diet, and you know, you've picked up these behaviors and you think that that's quite normal, but actually once you address the kind of psychology behind it, then that's when you can make some significant changes. And it doesn't need to be like that. And you can then start, you know, really building that really healthy relationship with food, where, you know, no food should really be off limit, but obviously you need to have a diet which has got lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, anything that's you know, natural, plant-based. You know, I'm a big believer of balance, but obviously everyone has their choice. If you know, you want to do vegetarian or vegan, then that's up to you. I think some fish, some meat, some healthy oils, is really important to have that overall balance for nutrition. And, you know, any kind of nutritionist will back me up on that. And the government guidelines, the NHS guidelines, they're all published widely. If you ever want to look into it yourself about what is, you know, what are you supposed to be eating on a daily basis? And the other major intervention that you can do for yourself is to drink more water, because so many people are dehydrated and they don't actually realize that. And that leads into food cravings, that leads into sugar cravings, that leads into poor sleep, higher anxious state of mind. If you're not, you know, you're not hydrating your body and your brain, then that can cause all sorts of problems. And again, that can cause inflammation on the inside, which then does lead to, you know, chronic conditions such as different types of cancers. And if you're getting overweight, you're in a higher risk of type 2 diabetes, you've got strokes, heart disease. So there's lots of physical conditions, but there's also, you know, it also affects things like anxiety and depression. And then also now they're looking at things like dementia, early onset of dementia, and some neurological disorders like Parkinson's, that, you know, with having healthier behaviors and a little bit more self-care. So, you know, thinking about what you're having to eat and just adding a few more vegetables into your diet, or drinking a couple of glasses of water every day, going for the extra walk around the block, they all count. Nothing, you know, whatever you do that's good for yourself, it's never ever too small. And again, I think this is the big thing that we don't really give ourselves enough credit for, the good things that we do for ourselves. say if you do 10 minutes of breathing exercises and you have a salad and you drink a glass of water, that should be celebrated. And then if you have the peak weekend, that's fine too. Like, you don't need to feel guilty, you don't need to feel shameful. When you eat in moderation, you don't overeat, you know, everybody knows, everybody will say it. Oh, I feel sick, I feel bloated, I feel horrible, because you've eaten too much. But if you can actually just click in your mind of when to stop, and that's, you know, you become more mindful of it, you're actually going to have so much better results and feel 100 times better. And it just sounds so simplistic to say it, but honestly, with regular practice and just making little tiny tweaks and small changes, you can change your psychology and you can become more mindful, and you can make significant changes in terms of how you're feeling. You'll have more energy, you'll have less stress, you'll be sleeping better, you know, you'll be a nicer person to be around, because, you know, it's just what will happen.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I think it's obviously what you eat, it's what you consume, it's what you are sometimes, and consuming good things, and everything in moderation, of course. Like, you want to keep that balance, and that's very important just in terms of your lifestyle. I do have this question. Mm-hmm. I would ask, I think just from a male's perspective, it's something that I'm trying to dive in this conversation with mental health, and the idea of some pressure that you have to become somebody and putting yourself in stressful situations such as climbing the corporate ladder. How has that experience from, you know, your clients, have you experienced men who come from challenging periods in their life where they've experienced those pressures, and have you found a way to sort of navigate, or do you have a suggestion for that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, each client obviously comes with like their own kind of whatever their goals are and whatever their struggles have been. So it's about identifying what has led that person there. So I guess if you're using, say, a specific client, like a guy that's struggling with his goals in career or also health goals, is it like stress or something?
More about the stress, I would say.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we talk about, you know, what the background is to that and where that person, you know, where that person wants to get to. So are they trying to set up a business? Are they trying to save money, you know, to buy a house? Do they, you know, are they, have they got other things going on, like, you know, relationship worries, or, you know, what is it that's specific to them? Then we'll obviously talk about the kind of mental health aspects and if there's any sort of previous things going on there, trying to find the right direction. Then we the goals that person wants to achieve, and then we can think about that pathway to get there. So it could be that it's going to be a short-term fix in terms of just the clarity of talking about it and clearing out the mind and thinking about how that individual, what their own beliefs are about the sort of where they want to get to and what's been kind of stopping them, like their barriers, and trying to unpick that. And that can come from all sorts of things. That can come from like parenting, or it can come from previous relationships. It could maybe be about their own self-worth. And that's where you kind of need to dig in a little bit deeper. But then it's identifying, you know, the here and now and the ways forward. So there's different kind of techniques, there's different kind of tools that you can use. It all is individual to that person, really. So, you know, if it's a career goal, then maybe we'll look at what everyone else is doing. For example, if they want to set up a specific business, you'd look at what competitors are doing and get some market research, look at what potentially your client, who your client would become, and what their needs are, and then who else is kind of serving them. And and get a good idea of that. And then maybe have a look at what's going to stop you getting there. What are the hurdles? Because actually, when you talk about things that might intercept someone's potential growth or potential future, it's good to see, it's good to actually kind of imagine what might go wrong or what could go right and talk about it. Because actually having that kind of prior discussion is always going to kind of instill you with a bit more kind of knowledge and you'll be more well equipped.
Yeah, completely.
It does.
I think I went with the gender specific male side of things because there's a lot of stigma associated with that idea of like pressure and not really owning up to it and, you know, kind of keeping it to yourself. But I don't want to discriminate. I think, you know, it happens with anyone who's trying to climb up in that way as well. And I'm sure those steps apply to everyone if need be. One other thing I was going to mention in terms of like your techniques, you got cognitive behavior therapy. How does that work?
So it's actually cognitive behavioral coaching, which is derived from CBT. Yeah. And there is a big evidence base surrounding that. So again, it's CBC is all about kind of individualizing it to that person, and then we will work on where, you know, what they want to achieve and how we're going to get there. And then along the way, it's kind of like whatever they decide, you know, whatever their kind of whatever their limiting beliefs have been or whatever their own individual barriers. For example, say we're using, you know, an example of a guy again, and he wants to, I don't know, lose weight. So he's come to me, wants to lose 2 stone. We need to discuss kind of what the sort of background to that was, you know, what's his previous eating habits. But then we want to look at what his lifestyle is like at the moment. So does he have a busy family life? You know, has he got kids? Is he a single parent? Is he got a really high powered, stressful job? Is he, you know, not working? You know, is trying to identify exactly where he kind of sits. And then we adapt whatever journey he's going to take around that, so it works for him. Because there's no point in deciding on this really like strict eating plan if this guy's a dad and he's cooking meals for children and he's got family or he's away at work all the time. So it's really got to work for him. It's got to be individualized to him and his own lifestyle and his own life. Mm-hmm. And then it's all about making small changes. So if it's, you know, for example, if it's weight loss, I don't know if when I spoke to you before, it's not about focusing on the weight per se. It's more about focusing on the results. So it's about, you know, how you're feeling. So you can have different goals, as in you'll have more energy, you're sleeping better. It's about learning as well. So, for example, if it's really specifically to do with the eating, but he exercises quite well, then we'll look at how he can make small changes in his diet. So, you know, if it's just using a common technique I use is like using your fist as a portion control on a plate. So you're not counting calories, you're not weighing food. You're literally just eating the same foods you always want to eat, but you're using your fist, and then you're adding lots more fruit and vegetables. So you're adding more vegetables onto that plate. So, you know, it's a lot more nutritious. Again, if it's weight loss, it's, you know, about drinking more water. And then we'll look at the, you know, how he manages stress. So that's significant. So if there's interventions there, then we'll look at, you know, how you can implement some breathing techniques or maybe some, you know, something that's specifically easy for him to implement in that day to day. So, for example, if he's busy at work, it's where can you identify that time? Can you do it at lunchtime? Do you do it in the morning? Do you do it after work? And so it's just adapting it specifically to that person's individual daytime. And it is basically mainly on goal setting. But it's also, yeah, I just kind of steal bits and pieces from lots of different perspectives. So there's emotional and rationale therapy, there's CBT, there's mindfulness, there's stress management techniques, and it's, you know, it's really, like I say, it's very individualized to that individual. And then you have, like, you know, a sort of end place that you want to be, so a time frame that's quite specific. It's good to have these things time specific. And then we're seeing each other each week. It will be about talking about what you've accomplished in the previous week, what has gone well, and celebrate the wins. But then you can also talk about the struggles. So having that kind of release, just that, you know, being able to, you know, I had an argument with my wife, or, oh, I missed a deadline for a presentation at work. One of my children was ill, you know, all these different things that can actually become barriers to the one people wanting to make those healthy changes. Those things are things that we can talk about. And then there's elements of, you can go into the nitty-gritty of motivation and looking at what that person is struggling internally. So is it about self-worth? Do they need to really address their inner critical voice? Is that an issue? And that's, you know, again, that would be looking at the self-compassion techniques and ways to implement different things that they could be doing for themselves in terms of changing the words they're using to themselves. So for example, if they are very critical of themselves, then it's kind of getting somebody to learn how to use more positive words, more affirming words. So for example, you know, I did this previous diet and I kept failing and I always overeat and I hate myself. And, you know, that's a really negative way to talk to yourself. So it's changing that up to, yeah, I didn't do very well at that, but I'm putting that behind me now because I'm strong. I know that I can do this, that I believe in myself, that I love myself to make these like positive, healthy changes. And so that, you know, there's so many different techniques, I guess. It's just really, really like honing in on the person and what they're really struggling with. But yeah, it's about setting yourself some goals. In my programs, I actually use, I've developed my own unique process, which is you just start one thing and then you stop one thing. So you have a start goal and a stop goal. And then each week you build upon that like a scaffold. Mm-hmm. So if you start one thing, for example, right, this week I'm just going to add vegetables to every meal. Actually, that's quite a significant eating behavior change. Because not only are you adding lots of nutrition into each meal, including breakfast, which you may not ever think about, you're filling yourself up, so you're probably eating less of other stuff. You won't have those cravings. And then if you stop one thing, for example, I'll stop talking harshly to myself, you change those two behaviors in 1 week, you're going to start having significant changes, especially as they build up. So you continue with those two behaviors and then they go up and up. And depending on how long, you know, you're doing it for, you can always repeat ones as well. You don't have to choose. So for example, if you're doing the 12-week program, you'll have, by the time you finish, you'll have 12 start goals and 12 stop goals. So imagine all the changes you've made, but in a really easy, simplistic way. So yeah, I mean, that's how it works. And also through that, I want to try and be teaching people different ways to view how they approach whatever their problem is, if it's weight or if it's, you know, they want to set their own business or whatever it is that they're struggling with. We'll look at the different kind of routes into that, I guess, and try and see it from a different perspective.
Yeah. I love that you're using these steps and the programs to sort of build the scaffolds, as you say, to your destination, your goal. Mm. But in terms of keeping up with that lifestyle, is it something that you facilitate? Like, okay, at the end of this, you're on your own, so you've got to obviously keep up with this. Do you see changes happen very quickly, or do you feel like it's something that they continue to fall back on in terms of what they were previously?
Yeah, again, it's about that individual. But we've had great successes with our programs, and I get messages all the time from people that finished, 6 months ago, and they're like, oh, I'm still doing it. This is what I implement each day, or, each week, because the whole point of the coaching programs that I write is I'm teaching people. I'm not just telling them. I want them to become the expert in their own health, basically, or become the expert in their own career, or whatever it is that they are trying to achieve. It's about them taking my knowledge and then keeping it for themselves and then putting it into practice, and they can go on and then help others. I've got a lovely story, like a little anecdote story. One of my previous clients, actually, she's a teaching assistant with SEN children. And when she just started the program, and she was like really super motivated, and, she had her Fitbit on and she had her water bottle. And so one of the interventions that I teach people is it's always about the how, and she really struggled to drink enough water. So I said to her, okay, well, get a timer in your phone and just set it for every 2 hours for you to drink a glass of water, because over the course of like a day, that, every 2 hours doesn't feel a lot when you're drinking water, but actually over the course of a day, if you do it regularly, it's in, you've drunk it. So her alarm was going off in class, and then all the kids started doing it because they were like, oh, it's time to drink some water. It's time to drink some water. And it was like, so all the children actually got involved in it as well. And that is just a classic example of, it's just like you passing on a tip and a bit of knowledge, something that works, and seeing like the kind of positive results it can have. And now I've told you, and anyone can sort of use that, and, and it passes on because it works. And it's sometimes these things seem so simple. Why didn't I think of that before? I've not drunk enough water for 20 years. And now I put a timer on my phone and I drink every 2 hours. And the thing with drinking water as well is once you start drinking more, your body then asks for it. So you do have, your thirst sort of response kicks in. And so when you're not having the same levels, you feel thirsty. And also the whole, oh yeah, but I need to go to the toilet all the time, that evens itself out as well. Like it just becomes normal. So it doesn't feel like you're rushing off to the toilet to go for a wee all the time. So it's those kind of things, teaching people so they become an expert themselves, giving them this whole broad depth of knowledge. It's not just about the food, it's about, exercise, but not in terms of you don't need to go and do an hour long run or a full on workout. You can just do a 10 minute walk and build it up. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is when you give people the recognition that whatever they do is enough, they start challenging themselves because they want to outdo themselves. So if you say to someone, 10 minutes, that's fine, just do 10 minutes of exercise, and they do 10 minutes, and then they might do it the first time and go, yeah, great, easy, sorted. Then they'll do it the next day because it was so easy. And then they'll start thinking, well, this is actually really easy. I can do 15 minutes more here, like, or 5 minutes more, and build it up to 15 minutes. And then they go 20 minutes. And before they know it, they're running a 5K. Do you know what I mean? And no one's telling them to do that. They're doing it themselves because they've had that recognition that, that someone said to them, whatever you do is enough. Whatever you do is enough. Don't give yourself a hard time. Don't make yourself guilty. Don't make yourself feel shamed. Because those negative emotions just suck. They take away your motivation completely. They do not serve you any power. Some people still believe that they are big motivators, but they're really not. Again, it's, you know, it's about the way you're thinking, it's about your mindset.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, everything that I gathered from what you just spoke about is like self-love, confidence, and just sharing your positive nature of who you are. And people will gravitate to that and learn from it. And just like the example that you gave with those kids drinking water, it just shows like that small change can impact them, the development, the, just everything about their life. And it, just by your association with them.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, just to wrap things up, do you have like a one last message for our listeners in terms of, I know you've given so much information in regards to how to look after yourself and mentally and physically and emotionally, but is there one last big tidbit that people should listen to?
Just be kind to yourself, talk to yourself in a kinder way, because you're always listening.
Okay, that's a good one. That's good. And also you're your own cheerleader, right? So even though the world would kill you, no one will be a bigger fan than you. So that's
exactly. It's about it's about giving yourself whatever you do, you know, when you make small changes, get rid of the dieting, stop giving yourself a hard time. If you want a bit of chocolate, think about how much you're eating. Like, you don't need the whole bar. It's not going to make you feel good. Remember that. Remember that it doesn't make you feel good when you overeat and overindulge, and just make those small, tiny steps into those, you know, into those bigger, huge changes. And once you think about how you're thinking, literally, you know, you're listening to yourself, those words that you're using, the positive changes will come. And then if it's weight, or, you know, if you, that is kind of like the side effect, you start losing the weight naturally anyway, and you have more energy, you end up getting a bit fitter because you're feeling a lot better about yourself. And it, you know, again, if it's, you know, whatever other goals you want to achieve, it's that you can use the same kind of, like, you have to have your wellness, it's the same kind of mentality. You know, if you're starting up a business, then it's, you know, what is stopping you? You're creating those limiting beliefs, your anxieties, your worries. Is there any evidence? Is there any evidence to kind of support the way that you're talking to yourself about it? Because 9 times out of 10, there isn't. It's just your belief system. And so it is just changing the way that you think, and trying to view it in a different way. And that, you know, that kind of philosophy, you can use that in all walks of life. You can use it in parenting, you can use it in your job, you can use it obviously with your wellness and your health. You can do it, you can use it in anything that you kind of want to do better at. And ultimately, it's about feeling happier and healthier and more fulfilled in day-to-day life, because everyone deserves that, no matter what they're struggling with.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. That's a nice way to wrap things up. And where can I find you online?
I've got a website, www.invigorize.co.uk, or you can follow me on Instagram at Invigorize, and Facebook at the same, at Invigorize. If you do want to get in touch, just please do send me a message through any of those channels. I'd love to chat to you. And if you've got any questions you'd like to ask me, then please do let me know.
Awesome. I'll make sure.
It's been really good today, Stephen. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No, thank you. I've learned so much. And I mean, I already have some of these things in practice, but now I'm more conscious about them. I'm just going to keep on going. And hopefully the people listening will be able to benefit from all of this.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've sort of picked up on some of those as well. Thank you.
No worries. All right then. Well, I guess we'll end the call here. But again, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for all the information. And so thanks everyone for listening, and definitely take care of yourself, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care, guys. Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do 4 things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those 4 things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.